Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to Bob and Yurt Live. I'm the pastor of Denver Bible Church. It's a light news day, so for one, if you'd like to try to get in, we often don't take calls, but we will today, 1-800-8-N-YARTS. That's 1-800-836-9278, 1-800-836-9278. That's 800-8-N-YARTS. So I've been wanting to go through one of the threads on our YouTube channel to give you an idea of the kinds of comments and interactions we have there. We have a couple goals with our YouTube channel. You know, we have these milestones, and then we work toward reaching them because that's just another avenue and outreach so that more people could be presented with a Christian worldview, and then they have the opportunity to evaluate that and hopefully will persuade more and more people first to trust in Jesus Christ and then to become conformed to his image. That is, take his teachings, take his principles, and make them your own. At YouTube, if you look at the comments below videos, hundreds of millions of those comments are anywhere from insane to vulgar, filthy, waste of time. I mean, that's true generally of the internet. Like our sons mentioned to me earlier today that at Yahoo Answers, we went to look up a science question, go to Yahoo Answers, and here's a serious science question. And then you look at the answers, and the first answer is some guy who says, honestly, I have no idea. And we're cracking up. It's like, well, then what did you answer for? I mean, when you say something, have a point. Don't feel like you have to comment on every single thing that comes across your face. It's okay to stay silent. So at any rate, YouTube is like that, and we don't allow filth, so vulgarity is not permitted. If somebody makes an important comment and it has vulgarity in it, what we may do is copy that and paste it in as our own comment and edit out, censor out the vulgarity. We do that from time to time. So we have these two goals. One is to get 1,000 subscribers, and the other is to reach 250,000 views. So we're right now up to 216,000 views and 860 subscribers. And there's plenty of research that indicates when you hit milestones like that, your channel begins to grow faster and reach more people. So that's why right now we're working on a YouTube video on the butterfly and metamorphosis and how the butterfly kills atheism, because it could not evolve in a Darwinian stepwise manner to where some organism, like a caterpillar, builds a chrysalis around itself and then digests itself, basically liquefies itself, and then recreates itself as a totally different organism, one that flies through the sky. I mean, if evolution were true, then you'd have an extinction-level event where caterpillars began liquefying themselves. That would be the end of the story of the caterpillars. So Fred Williams and I on Real Science Radio, we did a show where we talked all through that. And so we're turning that now into a YouTube video, and Lord willing, over time, that'll get 5,000-10,000 views. Who knows? Maybe one of these videos will eventually go viral. But so we're up to 216,000 views. One of our videos is the sermon from Denver Bible Church on the Sunday after the U.S. Supreme Court issued their homosexual marriage opinion. So we did the sermon immediately after that opinion, and it's up to about 2,000 views. You know, it's a challenge to get a lot of people to listen to a sermon, because people who care about sermons go to church, they hear their sermon. So at any rate, we're pretty thankful that's reached about 2,000 people. And then all the folks who subscribe every month, they get the sermons and the Bible studies that we do. That's real exciting, too. That's available at our store. Just go to kgov.com, click on the store, and you could get a subscription. But beneath this sermon, Denver Bible Church and the homosexual marriage opinion, there is a comment thread. And so I'd like to share some of that with you. So there's a homosexual who, you know, people make up their names on the internet, and his name he's made up for himself is weird. It's more like a sentence. So let's just call him ELT. ELT. So ELT comments, if the Bible turns out to be true, when, and I even hate to say these words, but I'll say them, as, you know, he might say them. If the Bible turns out to be true, when this gay man stands before God for judgment, I will quote Job 10, 2 and 3, which says, tell me, what is the charge against me? Is it right for you to be so cruel, to despise what you yourself have made? So this homosexual is quoting Job, who is challenging God. You know, God, what's the charge against me? And God, I can't wait to see you, because I'm going to lay it out. I'm going to lay out this charge against me is not just, and you're the one who's guilty. That's basically what he's quoting from the book of Job. So I replied, yes, you're quoting Job correctly, but you might want to read the rest of the book. In our verse-by-verse study at kgov.com/Job, we saw that Job finally got his big chance to confront God. But rather, to paraphrase, all he did instead was to say to God, I'm so sorry, please forgive me. For many, our hubris tends to fall away when reality hits. ELT, compared to your accusation, the exact reverse is true. For on that day, God will say to you, ELT, tell me, what is your charge against me? Is it right for you to be so cruel, to despise what you yourself have made? And that's the end of that first comment. Then he replied, and of course, he has made of himself a rebellious, sexually perverse human being. That's what ELT has made of himself. When I mention in that comment the exact reverse is true, we often put links to our resources. So there are two links in that short little quote there. One goes to kgov.com/Job, and the other goes to kgov.com/reverse. So he made an accusation against God, and I point out the exact reverse is true, as is typical. See kgov.com/reverse. When you go to that link, if you click on that, or you go to kgov.com/reverse, you will see our main page on our website that presents the gospel. And in there, there is a video that is stunning. It's only a couple minutes long, and it's called Reverse Thinking. And if you see it, truly you will be stunned how moving it is. Just a two-minute video. So he then responded, because I said that Job, to this ELT, I said, Job, when he had his big chance to confront God, all he did instead was to say, God, I'm so sorry, please forgive me. So to that comment, ELT responded, and this was just yesterday, Bob, why would Job ever say to God, I'm sorry, please forgive me? Job did nothing wrong, and the nothing is in all capital letters. Perhaps it is you who needs to go back and read the book. Start at the beginning, where Job is doing what is right, until God sicks the devil on him. And as I've said, we've gone through the entire book of Job, verse by verse. I went through the book of Job in Bible college back in, when was it? 1977 at Nyack College in New York State. on the Hudson River, right at the Tappan Zee Bridge, just across from the King's College at the time. So at any rate, yeah, okay, so go back. Bob, you're the one who needs to go back and read the book of Job. He did nothing wrong. So I responded, hi, ELT. Of the last five chapters of the book of Job, my paraphrase of his response to God is, I'm so sorry, please forgive me, because that's basically what Job says when given the opportunity to speak to God face to face. What Job repented of is when he said, I repent in dust and ashes. That's in quotes because Job said that. I repent in dust and ashes. What he repented of when he said that was not any good that he had done. Rather, he repented of the thought that gradually grew in his mind throughout the narrative of the book that he would be able to make a case against God. So that's what Job repented of, right? He repented of his attitude blaming God. The same is true of you, ELT, but not of me. Through trusting in Christ's death and resurrection, I have accepted both responsibility for my sin and God's offer of forgiveness. You, on the other hand, ELT, given the opportunity, are eager to make your case against God. That is why there is a hell. And we link to kgov.com/hell. For to vindicate yourself, you would destroy God. And that is true of the unbeliever. The unbeliever who ultimately rejects God and lives forever without God because that's what he wants, given the opportunity, that unbeliever would destroy God in order to vindicate himself. And that's why there is a hell. So that's part of the thread on our Denver Bible Church and the Homosexual Marriage Opinion video. And on our website, at you go to kgov.com, and right at the top, you click on YouTube if you'd like to watch some of our videos. And they're listed in playlists. So at the very top are the BEL Televised Classics, clips from our very popular TV show that aired around the country from Honolulu to Orlando, Florida, in 80 cities, broadcast, cable, satellite, the whole deal for years. And then is a playlist on science and Real Science Radio. And then is the Personhood of the Innocent, our two-minute abortion video, has 31,000 views. So that's encouraging that we've reached so many people with the message of that two-minute video. And then we have a theology, sermons, and Bible studies playlist. And there is a debate I had with Dr. James White, popular theologian, and other fascinating topics. One that I love is called Chosen. Chosen, it's not what you think. And then morality, ethics, and crime. So just a really fun YouTube channel, very informative, a lot to learn, and also a lot to enjoy. And you could help us reach our goals of 250,000 views, our next milestones, and 1,000 subscribers. So we're at 860 subscribers right now. Okay, so our phone number here to call in, and by the way, it's the same number if you'd like to order something for a Christmas gift, perhaps our brand new Big Bang video, or Dr. Walt Brown's book, In the Beginning, science book on creation and the global flood, or any of our many Bible studies and fascinating debates, you could check out our store, kgov.com, click on the store, or if you're not sure, if you have interest in two or three areas of theology or apologetics or life or history, you could call up and say, here's my interest, or I have a cousin who's an atheist, or whatever, what do you recommend? And we'll be happy to talk through with you the resources we have available as a Christmas gift, or you might want to sign up to one of our monthly subscription services, the monthly DVDs, the Bible studies, the sermons, and so on. So it's the same number to call into the show as to speak with one of our representatives. It's 1-800-8-N-YARDS. That's 1-800-836-9278. And I see we've had somebody on the line from Wasilla. Now, is that Wasilla? It's got to be Wasilla, Alaska. Russ, welcome to Bob N. Yart Live.
Oh, thank you, Bob.
So in Wasilla, well, then, have you seen Sarah Palin lately?
Well, I can't see her place because the Siberian force is in my way.
Oh, yeah. I remember those days of the campaign was when she was John McCain's running mate. And, Russ, I don't know if you ever noticed we did a pro-life profile of Sarah Palin, but it is a rather stunning profile when people hear what they hear, like on Sean Hannity or from Focus on the Family, and then they actually see what Sarah Palin has actually done as the governor of Alaska.
Yeah, right. I'm still outraged about her appointing a Planned Parenthood board member to the Superior Court here.
Yeah, that was your state Supreme Court. She made a life
Supreme
appointment.
Court.
Yeah, right, exactly. Right. Russ, just horrific. And when she appointed this Planned Parenthood board member to the state Supreme Court, she said that I am sure that her wisdom and experience will bring years of benefit to our state. And that's when she's running. That's when she's a Republican pro-life conservative.
Right. Yeah, I argue with my friends here still that tell me that she's pro-life. I always bring that up.
One of the ways that you can know with almost certainty that a Republican candidate is a child-killing pro-abort is that during the campaign, they'll say they're pro-life. That's one of the ways you could be almost certain that they're actually pro-aborts.
Well, Bob, I had a question for you from something about a week ago on your show.
Yeah.
You mentioned that you said it wasn't wrong to participate in Obamacare or welfare programs?
Oh, right, yes. And I realize that surprised some people, but yeah, go ahead, let's talk through that.
Well, I just wondered why wouldn't it be wrong to say even Social Security, since they stole the money. I put money in, but they stole it all.
Yeah. Remember the first gal who retired with her Social Security benefits for life? Do you remember that story, Russ?
Oh, boy, I want to say late 30s?
Well,
early 40s.
Yeah, the date I don't recall exactly, but she was just about to retire when they passed the law, and I think she paid in once. So she paid in once, and I think at the time they were taking 1% of your paycheck.
Correct.
She paid in once, and then she got a Social Security retirement check every month for the rest of her life. I mean, she's one of the few people that actually got a good deal out of it. But so clearly in her case, she's receiving money from the government that she didn't pay in. But also, I would say typically, even though we pay in money to the government, when we sign up for some government benefit, we typically end up getting more money than we paid in. Would you say that's generally true?
Boy, I'd have to think about that one. I'm going to have to say no.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You think generally we put in more money than we take out if we're on, let's say somebody, let's...
Well, I'm thinking myself.
Thinking of yourself, and you've paid in to government. You've paid your taxes for not only Social Security, but all the deductions that go to the federal government from your paycheck. And so you've paid in probably most of your life, right?
Yeah, yes. And they take about a third of my Social Security from a law called windfall exemptions that the Democrats passed in 1980.
All right.
I worked for the state of Alaska, even though I'm supposed to get X amount, they take about a third of it.
And, of course, there's people that work in all 50 states and in all kinds of different circumstances. But I would say, generally speaking, for government benefits, people get more than they pay in. And here's my rationale for that. It's by looking at the big picture. Most of our government spending is in social programs, in entitlement programs.
Right.
And we have a gradually increasing federal debt, which is now approaching $20 trillion. And that doesn't count really all of our obligations. But the amount of debt that's most readily acknowledged is approaching $20 trillion, so that overwhelmingly the government spends more than it takes in. And the ones who are on the hook to pay that back are basically the next generation, everybody who's starting right now to pay taxes.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So you see how from a big picture perspective, you could end up making a generalization and be pretty confident about it, that most people who receive government benefits receive more than they've paid in.
Yes.
So go ahead.
I was just going to count inflation in, but still your statement is true.
Yeah, I think it's true. And if it's not true for most people, obviously it's true for many millions of people. And certainly for people on entitlement programs where you're getting government funds because you're low income. Or you've never paid taxes, hardly, other than sales tax and, you know, property tax through your rent checks and so on. But so we have argued on this program that socialism is stealing. That's why socialism is wrong. It's not wrong because it doesn't work. You know, there are plenty of things that don't work, but it doesn't mean they're immoral. Like, how many people over the years have come to me because I have a talk show and they've said, Bob, I'm going to start a business and I'd like you to advertise it and we'll be partners. I'm going to start a bumper sticker business because, you know, he's thought up two or three great slogans for bumper stickers. And I said, well, why don't you save yourself some time and just cut off a couple of your fingers, because you're totally going to waste your time, money, and I'm going to have nothing to do with it. But it's not immoral to do that, even though it's just not going to work. It's maybe unwise. So just because something doesn't work, like socialism doesn't work, the best example right now is Venezuela in South America, which we should have invaded this past summer to save hundreds of thousands of people from starvation. But you look at Cuba, you look at socialist countries around the world, socialism fails, but that's not why it's wrong. It's wrong because it violates God's enduring command, do not steal, so that God says you cannot take money from others for yourself. It's wrong to do that. Do not steal. So we argue that socialism is wrong, communism is wrong, and therefore it's also wrong, it is sinful to advocate for communism, where the government takes everyone's property. And it's sinful to advocate for socialism, where the government takes people's money and doles it out as they see fit. It's wrong to advocate for those systems. Do you agree with that so far, Russ?
100%.
You do? You don't think it's too radical to say it's sinful to advocate for socialism?
Not in the least. Not in the least.
Well, how about George H.W. Bush? You know, he said one of his greatest accomplishments was the prescription entitlement program that he gave to the country. Russ, he said that was one of his greatest accomplishments.
And it was going to cost us $500 billion, if I remember right.
Oh, and it has certainly added enormously to our national debt, of course.
And it takes money from young people and gives it to old people that have more money.
Yeah, and that socialism, government interventionism, often does that. It takes money from the poor and gives it to people who have more. And all of our entitlements to the elderly do that. The elderly have far more economic wherewithal than young families just starting out. And yet the government has literally taken tens of billions of dollars from the youngest of families and given it to people who are retired and who go on cruises twice a year. I mean, literally.
Not so, me.
Yeah, not all people retire to go on cruises twice a year, but there are millions of them who have that kind of lifestyle. So, right, socialism just transfers money from the poor to the wealthy, or from the middle class to the poor, or however, by transferring the money, they get to take a cut out of every transaction. And by transferring the money, it gives them control. So at any rate, so the socialism welfare, it's sinful because it violates God's command, thou shalt not steal. So then, Russ, why would we here on Bobinert Live, is it hypocritical or is it at least inconsistent to say if you apply for unemployment insurance or you start taking your Social Security check or you go ahead and sign up for Obamacare, why do we say that it's not sinful? How could that be?
You've got me, Bob. Okay. I'm going to learn something here, though. About.
Well, unless we're wrong, and you could correct me, but there are...
It hasn't happened yet.
Well, I'm sure it has happened, Russ. There are degrees of separation. For example, the Roman Empire was murderous, yet God said, Jesus said, you pay your taxes to Caesar. And someone could say, yeah, but Caesar uses the money to occupy lands and to slaughter the innocent. And that's true. Our government uses that money to kill babies at Planned Parenthood. Our government, especially when we have Republicans in the White House and the Congress and the Supreme Court. So, but there is a degree of separation. The Apostle Paul said, we are in the world, but not of the world. So to function today, I'll give you one example, but I think it applies to millions of families. Cheryl and I, Obama said, if you like your health care program, you could keep your health care. And so our insurance company dropped us. And we know why. Because we were paying $760 a month for our family. But under Obamacare, it goes up to $1,300 a month. And we can't afford that. So they dropped us to force us to reapply. And when we reapplied, we tried all these private insurers. They all said to us, they didn't know anything about our case. They said, you have to apply through Obamacare. We said, we don't want Obamacare. We just want health insurance. They said, well, here's how you do it. You apply for Medicaid, and then when you get turned down, then we take that rejection and we determine how much your monthly premium is subsidized. So, Russ, the federal government is putting $1,000 a month into the pockets of insurance companies for our health care for our family, and we end up paying another $300 and some. Now, that whole system is criminal, the whole system. But
it'd be funny if it wasn't sad.
Yeah, right. It'd be funny. It's insane. It's absurd. It's evil. But there is enough of a degree of separation to where it is sinful to advocate for socialism. It is sinful. But people living in a socialist country where they get their utilities subsidized, or they get their rent subsidized, or their health care subsidized, or their retirement subsidized, it does not mean that they're all sinning because they're participating in the economy. But if they advocate for that system, then they are sinning. At least that's our understanding, Russ.
Perfect.
Hey, thank you, brother. Appreciate your call.
Great. Thank you.
KGov.com.